made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior.
Or 17 or 18 or so forth. I remember back then I knew that there was someone that was my enemy. I knew there was a devil. I knew he was real. I knew that he wanted to destroy my life. And I'm going to tell you, he hasn't retired since that day. He's still alive and he's still well. And the Bible says he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And sometime during while I'm preaching here, somebody might say, well, what's the big deal? Why does the preacher want everybody to listen? What's the big deal if we get up and walk around? And someone might say, well, who does he think he is? And I've even had folks say, you take yourself too serious. And that's a foolish statement to make, because it's not me. It's not me taking myself too serious. It's the Word of God.
And
as a preacher, if I ever get to the place where I don't take God's Word serious, then I won't preach again, I promise you. I take it as the most serious thing in all the world.
Yes, it is.
And it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Bible, when the Bible says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, that doesn't mean that he has a name or a title that he's looking for. It says whom he may devour. That's what the King James Bible says. The Word of God says whom he may devour. So that means that he doesn't have an age limit on that. He doesn't have a set color that he's looking for. Just like we sing the song, Jesus loves little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I'm going to tell you, just the same, the devil hates all the children of the world. All the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, he hates every one of them. They are all despised in his sight. He'd like to destroy boys and girls. He wants to destroy teenagers, old folks, moms and dads. Man, listen, it's his aim to destroy any of us that just don't believe that he could do it. And listen, I believe this. I believe the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I believe that the devil is in no way, shape, or form is he is more powerful than God. Amen. Listen, he's a created being. God made him, and God created him, and he made himself a Lucifer, by the way, with his pride. Howbeit, though, tonight I'm not going to talk to you much about him. I just want to tell you, just want to mention that in the beginning. I want to talk to you about how to keep him from getting control of your mind. How to keep him from getting control of your mind. You say, oh, the devil can't get control of my mind. I know. Your mind is far superior. Any of you ever had apple pie? Y'all ever had apple pie? What about that apple pie with that apple crumb? What is that we got? What is it? Dutch apple. The other day, Autumn likes lemon meringue, and that's her favorite. Anybody like lemon meringue pie? Jessica likes Dutch apple, and her daddy and husband likes both of them. Amen. And so I went to the store the other day, and I, as a great soldier of the faith, I went out to the Kroger and I looked around, and guess what? They were both on sale, so I got both of them. Amen. I got both the Dutch apple and lemon meringue. And the good thing about them is you got to wait on one to unthaw, another one to bake. So you can basically eat one while you're waiting on the other one. Amen. You say, how do you unthaw those? I just get them out of there and breathe on them, and my hot air thaws them out, and the other one's in the oven, and kind of evens out. But, boy, listen, they're pretty good. And I tell you, that Dutch apple especially is good as soon as it comes out of the oven and you put ice cream on it. The ice cream starts melting off. Now, how many of you was thinking about that Dutch apple pie just a few minutes ago before I ever talked about it? You probably wasn't thinking about it. How many of you would like to have a piece right now?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that be good? You know what that is? That's called the power of suggestion.
Exactly, right.
That's the power of suggestion. I mean, listen, some of you think I'm a fool sometimes. I'm going to tell you, I'm not quite as big a fool as you might think I am, because there's a devil out there, and all week long, he's going to use the power of suggestion to get a hold of your mind.
Right.
Yes. 724.
Yes. 727 days a week, 24 hours a day, the devil's using the power of suggestion to get a hold of your mind. And he's real. And he has something a whole lot different than Dutch apple pie he'd like to get you to get a hold of. Amen?
That's right.
And he's subtle, the Bible said. He's full of all subtlety. The Bible said he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, give no place to the devil. We're not supposed to give any place to him.
That's right.
There's an old saying, it's not in the Bible, but it's true. It says that an idle mind is the devil's playground, and the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And boy, listen, a lot of folks suffer this thing called depression, and I believe that's real, and they suffer all these mental problems and all those things, but a large portion of that comes from having an idle mind. I'm going to tell you, I like to stay busy, because my mind, if I let my mind sit still for very long, brother, listen, hey, I'm in trouble. I mean, it'd be nice just take a day off, but about halfway through, I got to find something to do, amen?
Right.
Listen, because my mind can't handle that much free time, and yours can't either. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Gabe, we're done singing, buddy. Why don't you put the song book up now and look at me, all right? And we'll be done a lot faster. So the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look what it says. Chapter number 10 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Boy, I like that. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, how am I going to fight this fight?" Well, there's not a thing that Oprah has to say that'll help you fight this fight.
That's
amen.
Right.
And there's not a thing that the psychiatrist or the counselor has to say that'll help you with this. There's not a thing that the self-help type of preacher has to say. What's going to help you is what God has to say. Amen. The Word of God is what will help you with this struggle tonight, this fight that you're in. With that, listen, as the old devil wants to destroy you, it's the Word of God that pulls down the strongholds. Amen. It's the Word of God. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." That's why, listen to me, I don't mind education. But what my problem with education is, that I would rather a person know God than know 2 plus 2 equals 4 and a half.
Amen.
Said 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4 according to the theory of modern day education. It does. Listen, where there are no absolutes, there are absolutes. 2 plus 2 is absolutely 4. Amen. And there are absolutes in life.
Right.
There is black and white.
Right.
And no matter what people may say to you, there are absolutes. And the Bible says here that we're to bring every thought in itself against the knowledge of God. I'll tell you, listen, you can get all the knowledge you want and get all the education you want. You go to all the schools, read all the books you want to do, but you'll never rise any higher than getting to know God.
Right.
Listen, the greatest knowledge in the world is the knowledge of God.
That's right.
Not what people have to say about God, but what you as a Christian, endued and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when you sit down with your Bible and listen to what God has to say from His book to your heart. Listen, that's where you need the knowledge of God. Amen. Boy, we need the knowledge of God. And this world today is corrupted and vile and falling apart. But listen, it's a mess because we lack the knowledge of God in our nation tonight. We're not. We know everything else. You can get on the computer and you can get on the internet and you can look up about anything you want to look up. And Brother Eric and Sunday and Junior in his class, he asked y'all a question. You go home, look on the internet and see what it has to say and find out the answer. I think he's probably wanting you to get in the Bible when he asks you them questions. But the truth is, you can find out about anything on the internet. All kinds of information on there and wicked stuff. Stuff you don't need to know. Amen.
Right, right.
But listen, why don't we get our Bibles out and get back to the knowledge of God? The
right.
Knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. Listen, I'm talking about a mental battle tonight. I'm talking about a battlefield in your mind. That's where the devil wages war tonight.
That's right.
He wages war in your mind, the power of suggestion. He waves a carrot stick up at you, gets you thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about. You say, "How do you know?" Because I know. I speak from experience, amen. Whereas I may be a little different than other preachers, I'm not putting myself up here on some throne saying that I've never been there. I've sat where you sit and I know what I'm talking about. And I'm preaching as much to me as I am to you, because I'm as much flesh as you are. And I'm as much subject to this as you are. And I'm just giving you the same formula I've given myself for the past few years. The only reason I'm here tonight is because of the truth I'm going to preach to you tonight.
Right.
The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal." It says, "Cast down imagination, everything exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I told you in Sunday school and church this morning that this message is kind of what you would call upper level Christianity. And listen, not Pharisaical Christianity. Not "I'm better than you" Christianity. But this is upper level Christianity. Listen, when God, I'm not talking about just where you say you're saved. Hey, the Bible says Lot was saved, but Lot's mind was corrupted by the citizens of the city in which Lot lived. His mind was corrupted, and Lot entered into all kinds of wickedness and abominable, sad, sorry things. Why? Because he was saved. He was saved, but his mind was corrupted. I don't want to be like Lot. Amen. But listen, America is a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah was in Lot's day. And old Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he was in agreement with the men of Sodom. He was in agreement with the wickedness of Sodom. And brother, his mind was corrupted from the simplicity of the Word of God, the Bible teaches us. I don't want to be like Lot. Amen. I don't want to be like Lot. I like a man in the Bible named Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Enoch knew God and he walked with God and he spent time with God. Boy, listen. The Bible says that we're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've got all kinds of Bible verses. Let's just walk backwards just for a few minutes in our Bible. And let's turn to Psalm 19, if you would, just for a minute. Go backwards to Psalm 19. Psalm number 19, just for a minute in your Bible. Any of you still cold? Because I'm frying, man. Listen, I think I told you that last Sunday night. Amen. But listen, y'all, I'm going to just go ahead and pull this jacket off just for a minute. Amen. Psalm 19, look what the Bible says in Psalm 19. Look there just for a minute. Psalm 19 and verse number 14. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth, the words of my mouth, and, you see that little comma there and that little three-letter word, and, in addition to, and the meditation of my heart. God said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What's God saying? God's saying that our prayer ought to be that God be tuned in not only to our words but our thoughts. Listen, hey, if you have a radio, you tune it into a certain station and you're listening to what's on that station. And sometimes you might turn it down, sometimes you turn it up, and depends on what's on there and whether you want to hear it or not. But we want God to be tuned into our lives. We want God to hear our prayers. Right. And we want God to fellowship with us and know us. But somehow or another, we only want God to hear certain things and only know certain things. You can't tune God, have God tune you in, tune you out. Amen. Our prayer ought to be, God, I want you to hear the words of my mouth and I want you to hear the meditations of my heart. I believe this. I believe that God answers prayers a lot of times that we don't even vocalize because God knows our thoughts. God knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows what's going on in there. Say, preacher, you don't know my thoughts. That's right. And you don't know mine. If you did, you might not be there right now. Boy, listen, hey, I'm glad that I don't know your thoughts, and I'm glad that you don't know all my thoughts. I'm glad tonight, boy, I'm glad that you don't have knowledge of every thought that's entered my mind through the past week. Boy, I tell you, I'm so glad you don't, amen. But I know this, I'm readily going to confess to, I know the fact that God knows every thought that's going through my mind this week. And brother, I'm glad to say to the old devil, even though he might have put that thought in there or had some part in that thought going in my mind, I'm glad I can look to him who is the accuser of the brother, and I can say to him, God still loves me. I'm still saved. I'm still on my way to heaven. There's not one sin been added to my record, and if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Why? It's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I'm sinless. It's not because my thoughts are all right. It's because my sins are all gone by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Boy, listen, I told you this morning in church, I'd love to be able to go somewhere with moms and walk in some room and take my mind out and lay my mind down and have my mind washed or whatever, or just get me a new one or whatever, and walk back out and have a mind that does not have the thoughts in it, this mind and the images this one has and the memories and the recollections this mind has. And brother, listen, if you think you can see or do something, you're going to forget about it tomorrow, you're messed up, friend. Listen. Boys and girls, hey, listen to me. Hey, boys and girls, don't think you got to experience everything in the world. Don't think you got to see everything. Right. Hey, there's some things you ought not to ever look at, because once you look at them, they're in there forever.
They're there.
I mean, they're in there forever. Somebody, listen, comes along with some dope or some dirty picture, boys, and says, here, take a look at this. If I could tell you anything, I'd say to you, don't look at that the first time. Because, friend, you won't forget the first look you ever had at something like that.
That's right.
You can live to be 100 and it'll still be in your mind.
Yep.
But boy, I'm glad to testify tonight of what the Bible tells me, that someday, listen, hey, someday I'll get a brand new mind. Amen, brother Eric? Yeah. And I'll get to spend all of eternity walking the streets of gold and walking through heaven. And I'll be happy about the fact that I got a clean, pure mind and not have one bad thought in my mind. Amen.
Amen.
Until then, though, I got a Bible. And the glorious thing about this Bible is that this Bible searches my mind and searches my heart and searches my thoughts. And this Bible washes me and cleanses me and helps me to listen to have a right kind of a mind in spite of all that. Amen. Boy, listen. The Bible says in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I want to show you another Bible verse, Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Turn back in your Bible to there also, Genesis 8, 21. The hard thing about preaching this message is just about every verse in the Bible pertains to this truth. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. I want to show you, I'm showing you why it's so important what I'm preaching to you tonight. Genesis 8, 21. Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." This is what God said after the flood. This is what God's understanding about man is. God said, "For the imagination of man's heart," and that's your mind, your heart is your thoughts, "the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done." What did God say? God said, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." What are we going to do about that? Well, number one is you better get saved. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, why? Because when you get saved, something happens. Take your Bible and turn back to Romans just for a minute. Turn back to Romans chapter number 8, if you would. Turn back to, in the New Testament, Romans 8. And if you don't want to try to keep up with the Bible, don't worry about it. You can listen to it later on. Amen? Because I'm going to find it and read to you because I got a lot to say. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. The Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And verse number 6 of Romans chapter 8 says, "For to be carnally minded is death." What does that mean to be carnally minded? That means for your mind to be fixed on worldly things is death. For to be carnally minded is death. Precious. Is there a reason why you're pinching him? Okay, don't do it then. All right. Thank you, buddy. Listen, "For to be carnally minded," the Bible says, "is death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. "For it is not subject to the law of God." Listen, "neither indeed can be." You say, "Preacher, what in the world does that mean?" That means until the day you die, you're going to be in a battle.
Right.
Now, I talked to you about the devil, but listen, it's not just the devil that you're dealing with. It's your own self you're dealing with. It's your own mind that you're dealing with. The devil's object is the power of suggestion. That's what the devil does. But listen, but the problem is not the devil. The problem is our own minds, our own carnal minds. Jesus didn't die to save the devil. He died to save me. Who did he die to save me from? From myself. From my own sinful ways and my own wickedness. You say, "Preacher, that's not so." Well, turn back to Romans chapter 7 if you don't believe that. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 7.
Yep.
Verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God unto the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who did I say the enemy was? Who did I say Jesus died to save me from? From myself. from this listen. Hey, someday he's going to deliver me from this body of death. Amen.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall go to meet him in the air. Either this old body is going to be buried in the grave, and I'll be able to look back as I go up in the rapture. I'll be able to look back and say to the body that was there, to the grave, grave, where's your victory at? Listen, you thought you had me, grave, but the sting of the victory is gone over the grave. I've got victory, or I may be able to die and to go up having never died, and I'll be able to look at death and say the sting of death.
Yeah.
You missed me. Brother Anderson, wouldn't it be something to never know the sting of death? That we, either way, we're victors through Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, hey, Christ has given us the victory, whether it be over the grave or whether it be over this body. Amen.
Yeah.
But one way or the other, we got victory tonight because of Jesus.
Right, right.
But into that day, we're in a battle. Into that day, boys and girls, we're in a war. Into that day, teenagers, we're in a war. We're in a battle. And listen, I'm trying to preach tonight to help you adults understand, married folks, to help you understand. Listen, preachers, to understand that you're not exempt from this battle. Because as long as you're in the flesh, you're in the battle.
Right.
So how do you know? Because that was God that inspired that words we just read. But right. It was the Apostle Paul speaking it. And listen, and God wouldn't have a man be a hypocrite and a liar and speak something that wasn't true. And the Apostle Paul was testifying that he was in a battle every day of his life.
Amen.
And he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I showed you this morning, Romans chapter 12 says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Your mind,
that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I'm going to tell you tonight why our country is so wicked. The reason why people are so vile. The reason why, listen to me boys, listen. The reason why a mama would go out and have a little baby in her womb and would go out and to some abortion clinic and have that baby ripped from her belly and through a process of abortion, which is not an alternative. It's not choice. It's murder. It's wicked,
right,
ungodly.
Right.
And the reason why is because their hearts and minds have been alienated from the Word of God.
Right.
They don't know what the Bible says. My Bible says that life begins. It begins in the womb, and that baby's alive. And God said before that baby ever come out of the womb that God knew Jeremiah, that prophet of God. And brother, God knew me before I ever came out of my mama's belly. And listen, hey, it's not right. It's not right, no matter what the president says or what the Congress says or what the Congress lady says, brother. It's an abomination before God. And it's not that I hate those people. I'm not mad at them tonight. I'm mad at the fact that their mind is warped and polluted from the Word of God, from the place of God.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we have in our schools, we have people coming in and teaching that kind of wickedness and the sex education in our schools is to get your mind thinking opposite of what God says. Why? Because man is not programmed to think opposite of God. Listen, his mind is subject to the suggestion. But listen, you let that man or that boy or girl sit in school all day long and hear anti-God propaganda, he'll grow up and be anti-God.
Right. I
have enough trouble without somebody teaching me that garbage. And listen, adult, you and I, we have enough trouble without sitting in front of the television and listening to the filth and the garbage on the television and letting that be pumped into our minds. Why? Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm not preaching against the television tonight. I'm not preaching against the public school tonight. I'm preaching against the fact that the devil is out there and he's trying to pump our minds full of wicked things.
Right.
But listen, your mind, there's a battle feel in your mind. There's a war waged in your mind all the time. And I know it tonight. I'm testifying for my own self tonight. Listen, you've got to realize that there's a way to win that battle. Amen.
Amen.
There's a way to win that battle. America tonight as a whole is losing the battle of the mind. I mean, amen, Angelia.
Amen.
That's right, Hannah. That's right. Listen.
Amen.
Hey, preaching sister, listen. Hey, understand tonight. But that's a commendable thing, boys and girls, that you're in church on Sunday night.
Right.
If all you hear is one thing that this preacher says, if all you say, "Why does he yell? Why does he scream like that?" If you'll just hear one thing and get it, it'll help you, amen? Because the old devil, he's going to suggest all kinds of wicked things to you. He'll tell you girls that you need to be loose with yourself and let boys touch you. You don't need to do all that kind of stuff, friend. Hey, you don't need to subject yourself to that kind of
filth.
Boys, he'll tell you all kinds of wicked things.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, listen, the old devil today, he's actively, listen, he's trying to raise up a sodomite generation in America, telling boys that they need to grow up and be girls, and girls grow up and be boys. That's out of hell, friend. Listen, if God made you a boy, you grow up and be a man. And if God made you a lady, you grow up and be a lady. Amen. And be proud of being a mama. And be proud of being a daddy. Listen to me tonight. I realize as much as I stand here that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm preaching to you tonight a testimonial how the devil tried to destroy me and take my mess, my mind up, and how through my life he's tried to do it. Yes. The only reason why he hadn't is because of the Word of God.
Right.
Listen,
right.
Simple Bible preaching. I'm going to just give you tonight, real quick, the things that God will use to help you in that simple Bible preaching. Old-fashioned Bible preaching.
Right.
God-ordained Bible preaching. Amen. It was God that chose the foolishness of preaching, friend. And don't ever outgrow good old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God for preaching. Amen. Thank God for a preacher that'll stand up, get red in the face, and spit and slobber everywhere, and pound in the pulpit. Why? Because he cares about you. That's why.
Right.
But listen, hey, God has always used the tool of preaching. It makes me sick up to here tonight that churches have made preaching second rate, friend, and they got some fella up there that's more interested in putting a show on and the praise and worship team doing their thing, friend. Let's get back to preaching again.
Hey, right.
But listen, there's a church not long ago, teenagers, where they had taken, and the whole downstairs, they had dedicated it to moral combat or something or other. The teenagers, the boys and girls was coming to church, and they come to the church and just play video games all the time. They'll make popsicles in Hades before we're going to do that kind of stuff. Amen.
That's
listen,
right.
Hey, I want boys and girls to come to church. And I want you to learn blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I want you to learn amazing grace. How sweet.
Woo!
They say that boys and girls, teenagers, like got to have these new songs. You ask the teenagers around here what their favorites are. One of you tell me one of your favorite songs. Amen. You better be right. What is it?
What is it, Caleb?
The old rugged cross. Amen right there, brother. What's one of your favorites? You got one? Come on now. What?
The Star Spangled Banner.
That's a good one too, brother. Amen. Somebody else got another one? Yes. Victory in Jesus. Hey, brother, listen. What have you got? Come on, man.
Standing on the promises.
What you got, Travis? Amazing Grace. Oh, what you got, Haley? Redeemed, that's what I thought. I thought that was one. She was singing that on the way home from church the other night. Sounded real good, too. Anybody else got one real fast? Somebody got another one?
And
onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. Listen, hey, I'm glad tonight to know, and I think about this, and I rejoice in it. Brother, listen, we don't have to listen to the devil. Hey, it's the devil that tells these two-bit preachers to stand up and change the program and get away with this all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of filth. Say, preacher, you're talking too fast. Brother, I'm not talking as fast as I wish I could talk tonight.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish I had hours and hours to stand here. Yes, sir, Kiefer, let's hear it, buddy. What's your song? Amen. I'm glad he does. Hey, let's sing that one. Amen. Let's sing it for the devil. All right. Let's let God hear it and sing it and stir up in the devil's eyes. Sing it with me. All ready?
Jesus loves
sing it loud.
Me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Sing it. Never hear a greater message in all the world than Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Hey, what's preaching all about? It's somebody standing up to an old, lost, and dying world and saying, world, listen, I got good news for you. Hey, world, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, listen, you take the Muslim tonight or the Muhammad and the Jehovah's Witness, you take anybody and the message they need to hear is a message of God's love, how that Jesus left heaven and was born in a lowly manger. He lived a perfect sinless life, and he went to that old rugged cross, and he bore my sin, Dad, and he died in my place, and he suffered my hell and up from the grave he arose. Why did Jesus do it? Because he loved me.
Amen.
Why did he die on the cross? Because he loved you. That's Amen. Why. Listen, right. friend, more than the devil ever loved you, Jesus loves you. More than the world ever loved you, hey, Jesus loves you. It's Valentine's Day this week, all right? I listened to you guys on the bus last week saying, I think I got me a girlfriend for Valentine's Day. I think I got me a boyfriend for Valentine's Day. Man, listen, don't got to worry about that. Y'all married people, you better have a Valentine's Day. Amen. You better have you somebody you love. You better love your loving on Valentine's Day. Amen. But listen to me. Hey, you guys don't got to worry about that. Hey, listen. Hey, let Jesus be your Valentine. Amen. Hey, let him be your Valentine every day. Every day he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know.
Hey,
boy, listen. There's a God in heaven who loves me. He gave his son to die for me. And God, when I wake up in the morning, God was waiting on me to fellowship with him.
Yeah.
He wants to talk with me. He wants to fellowship with me. And he does so with you. Amen. Preaching. I don't think you can get enough good preaching, amen?
That's right.
It's a shame today that we don't have the preaching we used to have.
Right.
People used to preach, boy, listen, and they used to stand and preach, and they'd preach for weeks upon weeks, and the preachers would preach, and the people would listen, and amen to preaching, and listen, adhere to the preaching, and their lives would be changed. We need preaching, amen? Simple Bible preaching, God's used it to change my life. Preaching is teaching that brings a decision to the heart of the hearer. So I don't like that preaching that steps on my toes. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for preaching that didn't step on my toes. Amen.
Amen.
Our preacher's always trying to get me to do something. Praise God. Listen, hey, it's not the preacher doing it. He's just preaching the Word of God. But he doubt enough be enough God on that preacher and enough truth of the Word of God that that preaching demands a decision in your life.
Right.
Closer to Jesus ought to be the preacher's cry when he preaches that we draw folks closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
So I'm the teaching type of preacher. I don't know what kind of type you are, but you better be a preaching type of preacher. Amen.
Right.
We need preaching. I'm not talking about preaching on every rabbit trail under the sun. I'm talking about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Listen, hey, there's no greater message that you can preach in the gospel.
Right.
Say, preacher, no, you need to preach it. You need to fix everybody. Friend, listen, if you'll get saved, God, I've got good news for you. Hey, God will do the fixing. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells the believer the moment you're saved, and he's there the day you die, and he can do better fixing than anything I could ever do. Amen. Because you see, you can fool the preacher, but you can't fool God.
That's right.
If you're genuinely saved and born again, God lives in you and he's with you all the time. And listen, if you're saved, all the preacher does is remind you what the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, that's right. If the preacher ain't right, the Holy Spirit will say, that ain't right.
Right.
And the Lord don't want you sitting listening to preaching that ain't right. Amen.
That's
listen,
right.
Hey, the last thing in the world that God wants you to do as a Christian is sit and listen to foolish preaching, not the foolishness of preaching.
Right.
I wouldn't sit for 5 minutes. I wouldn't sit for 5 minutes and listen to a preacher that wouldn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'm out of there, friend. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of preaching that doesn't preach and believe this is the Word of God.
Amen.
You let somebody stand up and deny the virgin birth of Christ or the deity of Christ or the preservation of God's Word. I'm not going to be a part of that, amen?
No.
Or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one is simple Bible preaching. Just Bible preaching. We need to get Bible preaching. What would help America, what would save the salvage of minds of American people, had to be Bible preaching. Number two is a church established on the foundation of Holy Scripture.
Amen.
I don't know how long I got on that one, but I got about 4 or 5 hours on this one. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And then it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's talked in there about searching, amen? You know, there's places I can't go. I could sit and talk to some of you one-on-one, and the truth of the matter is, I don't want to know every thought that's in your life. I don't really want to know.
Amen.
Listen, these preachers sit around and counsel everybody and listen to all that stuff, friend. I really want to hear it. I got enough of my own problems. I'm not the Pope. I really don't. Hey, now, wait a minute. Now, listen, you're having a problem. I'll talk to you about it. But you ain't looking at somebody that's going to say, give me all the details. I'm going to say, hold on a minute. That's enough right there. Amen. Yeah. Just give me an idea of what you're dealing with, and I'm going to try to, I don't want to hear all of it, amen?
Yeah.
But they, some of them like to hear that stuff. Why? Listen, they ought to just go ahead and get them a television and leave their quit prying into their people's lives so much. Amen.
Yeah.
Because listen, they're wanting to entertain their flesh and get all the information. And brother, listen, that's not good. Amen.
No, no.
Because my flesh is just like your flesh. Our flesh is rotten. But I'm going to tell you what, when you read your Bible, God knows every thought in your heart. He knows every hidden chamber, and everybody here has got hidden chambers. And you can keep it hidden. I told you, listen, hey, and it's a good thing, amen. The Bible, people say, well, I just thank God, just say what's on your mind. The Bible says a fool speaketh everything that's on his mind.
That's what the Bible says.
I don't want you to be a fool, amen, so just hold back some of that. Listen to me tonight. Hey, there was a king in the Bible named Hezekiah. You remember this? Remember this? God gave me this a long time ago. Hezekiah, God preserved his life, gave him 15 more years because he asked God for mercy. But no longer than he did that, listen, the people of Babylon came down, the ambassadors from the enemy's nation, Babylon came down, and Hezekiah was feeling all peachy that day, and he said, fellows, would you like to go on a tour? They said, why, sure. He said, no, wait a minute, first I want to ask you, you are friends, aren't you? They said, oh yeah, you can trust us.
Yeah.
And I already told you when someone says that, forget about it, amen.
Yeah.
Listen, he said, you can trust us. And he said, let me show you everything in the kingdom. And he took them around.
Right.
And brother, when they walked away with their hearts set on coming and taking the kingdom.
Yep, not done now.
I got good news for you. The devil doesn't know every thought you think.
That's right.
The devil fishes. He throws things out to see what you respond to.
Yeah.
How many of you got a temper? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you what. Listen, it do you good every once in a while to work on that temper and not let the devil know everything that sets you off. Amen?
Right.
Because once he knows the buttons to push, how do you know that? Because I've seen that man in relationships. Amen? Nobody say anything right now. But you learn what buttons to push and what to do to get people riled up. I'm going to tell you, the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What does a lion do? He walks around looking for somebody.
Right.
He looks for weaknesses. He's a hunter.
He
and he's looking for your weakness and looking for some way to get a hold of you.
Yep. Right.
But listen, I don't want to let him know everything I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that God will search all that out. Listen to you. I'll listen to me. I want you to beware of something tonight. I want you to beware of textual criticism. You say, preacher, what in the world is that? I want you to beware of ever getting too smart for your Bible.
Yeah.
I want you to beware of something tonight. Boys and girls, you go down there to the bookstore and get you a Bible. I want you to be real smart and get you an old King James Bible, okay?
There you go.
Because there's a person there selling Bibles that's going to tell you, now, this one is easier to understand. Now, who said? Don't get mad at me tonight. Don't bristle up at me tonight. Listen to what I'm saying.
Right.
Hey, who said it was easier? My Bible says that when I get saved, the person that helps me understand the Word of God is the Holy Spirit of
right.
God.
Amen.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that God needs somebody to help him, help me understand His Word? But listen, I don't think that's the case. Amen. I believe there's a God in heaven that wants me to open the Bible up. And listen, I don't know about you, but I kind of like to chew my own food. Amen.
Yeah, there you go. Amen.
The Bible says that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That word meditate means to chew on it, amen?
Feast upon it.
To feast upon it, to meditate upon it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want nobody chewing my food for me, amen?
Right.
But listen, that just makes me sick right there. You chew your own food. Listen, I feel the same way about my Bible. I don't want some wise guy to chew it up for me and spit it out and say, now here, you, now can you better understand it now? I don't know about you, but I don't buy that.
No.
Now listen, you can buy that lie of the devil if you want to, but it's going to hurt your Christianity. It ain't going to make you any less a Christian. It ain't going to make you any more or less on your way to heaven. I'm going to tell you what, though, the devil's got a hold of some of these Bibles to the point where there's no gospel left in them, though.
Right, preacher, right.
Because his ultimate goal is to water down the gospel and get the gospel out of it. Listen, hey, some of them have taken away the virgin birth of Jesus Christ,
right,
and they've fallen right along that lie of the devil that said that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, but he was born of a Roman soldier, seen Mary one day and had a relationship with her. Brother, listen, that's a lie out of hell. My Savior, Jesus Christ, isn't illegitimate. He's the virgin born Son of God.
Right.
Amen. He was placed in the womb of Mary by the angel of God. Listen, friend, hey, He is the virgin-born Savior. The blood coursed through the veins of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And not man's blood, it's God's blood. He is the only begotten Son of God.
Yes.
You just leave the Bible alone, buddy.
Right.
So, preacher, why is that such a big deal to you? Because 1901, America introduced the ASV into its culture. Same year, our president was assassinated. From 1901 to 2012, America has had but about 7 or 8 years what she wasn't in a war or a depression. We've went through multiple depressions since 1901. And listen, assassination of presidents since that time.
Yep.
War since that time. Tribulation since that time. 2 world wars since that time. The loss have multiplied thousands upon thousands of lives. Why? Because God is not... Listen, the Bible says over here in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, I'm going to read it to you, and you can stick it in your pipe, smoke it or whatever, but I'm going to read it to you tonight because I'm trying to help you tonight. Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you,
right,
neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." It bothers me when someone adds to the word of God,
yeah,
when someone adds something that's not in the Bible, but it bothers me just as much, and well as it ought to bother us, because it bothers God. But listen, God said he put a curse on somebody that adds to or takes away from his book. Amen. Listen,
right,
it bothers me. I don't want someone to diminish from the word of God.
Amen.
I don't want somebody to take away from it. Friend, listen, I like everything in it. Listen, don't mess with the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Don't mess with the gospel. But I like it just the way it is. I like the story. I like the way it is. I don't want anybody toil with it.
I like it.
Don't come along and tell me that God messed up right there and put the wrong. I hate that kind of talk.
Right.
I can't stand. I don't understand the wise guy that feels like Bill Mullins, that he's reached a level where he can stand and look down his nose and say God didn't know what he was talking about. But I see it. I got this Scofield Bible. And old Scofield every once in a while got smarter than God.
Uh-huh.
He knew more God's word. God shouldn't have said that right there. But listen, if C.I. Scofield has the authority to change the word of God, or if anybody else has the authority to change the word of God, then we do not have the word of God. And when the Bible says, man, a faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. And brother, God gave us this book right here to keep us from falling prey to the devil.
Amen.
The only hope for my home is the word of God.
Right.
The only hope for my marriage is the word of God.
Right.
The only hope for this church is the word of God.
Yeah.
The only hope for America is not the Democrat Republican Party.
Right.
The hope for America is not our colleges, our schools, our education system. The hope for America is the word of God. The word of God. Don't add to it. Don't diminish from it.
Right.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Read it.
Mm-hmm.
Accept it. And don't fall prey to that kind of stuff.
Right.
Say why? Because the final authority is God's word. And listen to me tonight. Church should illustrate the joy this establishes in the mind. See, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you what a joyful home is. A happy home is when daddy knows what God's word says.
That's right, preacher.
And daddy determines to do what God says. Sit down, Cherish, and be good, girl. Sit down there, girl. Lay down. Okay, sit down there and be good. Good girl. Listen, when daddy does what the Bible says. Listen, let me use an illustration here just for a minute. You three boys sitting right back there. I want two of you to be talking right now. Come up here just a minute. Travis, you and Jacob, we're talking. Come up here. Austin, you going to help me? All right. Come on up here just a minute. What you guys don't know is that you're going to be mommies and daddies and all kinds of stuff right now. See, man, I like that part. Austin, come up here, man. You're going to be daddy. Jacob, you know where that leaves you? All right, listen to me just for a minute. I'm sorry to do all that to you guys, but listen, Hey, listen, ain't no daddies and daddies, amen. Somebody's got to be mommy. Yeah, all right, but listen. Understand this, so. Brother Mullins, you can stay, come up here. I won't be God. I'll let you be him. All right, come up here just a minute. Well, listen, it just keeps getting worse. All right, but listen. Here's what God did. God gave his word, all right? Don't you pass this down right there. Listen, God gave his word. All right, this fellow right here is supposed to be daddy, amen? Listen, that means it's his job. It's not his job to beat everybody up with this book, amen? It's his job to read this book right here. It's his job to study this book right here. It's his job to fellowship with God and know what this book says and to love this book. And it's his job to pass that love along. All right, listen. And he's supposed to, the Bible says he's supposed to love her. Bible never says he's supposed to be mean to her. Bible never says he's supposed to beat her up. Bible never says he's supposed to love her. Commands him to, by the way. Amen. I'm sorry to do that to you, Jacob. Now listen, and these two right here are supposed to be in agreement, trying to keep this fellow right here in line. Mm-hmm. And listen, hey, and they're all supposed to work together as a team.
Right.
And they're all supposed to do what this book says right here. Why? Because it's his word? Because it's her word now? Because it's his word?
No.
Because it's whose word? God's word. So who's the final authority in the home? Daddy? Nope. Mama? Nope. Kids?
Nope.
You know what? You know how I know America's messed up? Because right here's the final authority in most homes.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of looking to see what God says, they're looking to say, well, what would you like to do, Junior? Kick him in the rear end. That's what he needs. Amen. Listen. Hey, you don't look down here and ask Junior what he wants to do.
No.
Mama says, well, you know, honey, the kids, they don't want to do it that way. They don't want to go to church tonight, foodie on that kind of stuff. And Daddy says, now where would y'all like to go to church? And what would you like to do? Listen, Daddy, you need to get in your Bible and see what God says. Study the Word of God. And you lead your home, amen. Lead your family.
Yeah.
And listen, and teach them that God is good and God is great. And everything we got comes from God, amen.
Yeah.
Listen, that's how I know America's messed up. Because this right here is what's leading America. Mm-hmm. Kids are leading the show. That's why sometimes it's hard to adjust when you're at church, boys and girls. Hey, listen, sometimes when you're in Sunday school and all of a sudden the teacher says, hey, set up, and you're going upstairs. You say, whoa, who do you think you are? Hey, because you come to a place where you're not in charge. That's what you have.
That's it. Amen.
Listen, you might be in charge at home, but you're not in charge when God's word is in control. Amen.
That's right.
Because God sets authorities
Amen.
In your life. When you're in school, hey, I may not agree with everything your teacher teaches. I tell you what, when you're at school, you ought to respect your teacher, boys and girls. And that's why, because God put them there.
Yep.
God gives you a job. I think you ought to be respectful of whoever's in charge, amen? Because the Bible teaches we ought to be that way.
Right.
But this says a lot of things I don't like, but I want to do what the Bible says.
Amen.
You fellas can have a seat. Thank you. Wait a minute. Before I do that, I want to say this. You go on, Mom. Go on, son. Listen. It's not Daddy's job to take his book and pick and choose what he thinks is right and wrong. All right? It's his job to read it and do what it says.
Right.
Where in the world did some preacher get the idea? Thank you, Austin. You have a seat. Where did some preacher think he'd get the idea that he could take and change parts of it? I don't believe that tonight.
Hey.
Say, preacher, why is the issue on that? I've been preaching this, by the way, since I was a wee little boy. Amen. I'm like the fella that them cowboys one time. They was running from the Indians, and they got a head up, and boys and girls, and they got a head up far enough, and they was on this lookout mountain. And that one cowboy told his buddy, he said, "You go down there," and he said, "You watch them." And he said, "When them Indians, when they get well," and listen, hey, and they some good Indians, by the way, but these were bad ones, amen. And I won't be politically correct. I don't want to offend anybody. But listen, and when they was coming, he said, "Now listen," he said, "right now they're way away," and he said, "They're not real big." He said, "You can see them in the horizon. They're about that tall." He said, "But when they get about this big," he said, "I want you to start firing at them." Boy, listen, he waited and he waited, and he never heard anything, and he was watching out for them. Finally, he went up there, and here they was coming right at him. He said, "Buddy, why didn't you shoot at him?" He said, "I couldn't do it." He said, "I've known them since they was that little." He said, "I couldn't shoot them. Now they got bigger." What's that do with anything? I don't know. But I wanted to tell that since I heard that a long time ago. I want to tell that sometime and wait for a point to fit in the sermon. Where in the world we think we got the idea we're big enough to correct God?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you tonight, America would be far better if we went back to the days we was dummies.
Yeah.
Because we wasn't dummies. We were God-fearing people.
There you go.
Listen to me tonight. There was a thing that came to America from Germany. German intellectualism. And the so-called scholars and theologians began to correct the Word of God. By the way, where's Germany at spiritually right now? I know missionaries that are having to come home from Germany because they don't have the freedom to homeschool their children, so they're bringing them home. They film X-rated movies on the streets in Germany. Listen, and the Christian parents can't leave their children there because it's so wicked and vile. Oh, by the way, there's a fellow named Hitler there also. But they got smarter than God in Germany. And they started correcting the Bible, and they brought that attitude to America. When's the last time we had a great revival in America?
Oh.
All about 1910. When did all that stuff happen? All about 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Why? Because we're diminishing from the Word of God.
Right.
What's the Bible say? The Word of God is quick and powerful. You say, "Preacher, that kind of cuts me." I hope it does. Amen. Because I'm going
to
tell you, we got churches all over the place folding up and bringing all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of foolishness because they've gotten away from the Word of God.
That's right, preacher.
You think I'm picking on you tonight? I'm picking on the devil. Because I know one of the great tools he has is to get you to question the authority.
Amen.
Question authority. If my youngins come home from church and I find out they's in trouble and they got in trouble in church, you know what? They're in trouble at home. So that's kind of old-fashioned. That's right. Because there was a day in America where boys and girls went to school and they got in trouble at school. They got home. The last person they wanted to know they got in trouble at school was mom and daddy. Now what do? You can't wait to get home and tell mommy they was mean to me at school. And the mommy said, "I'll go get them."
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to be mean to my kid. And God only knows what you really need. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, listen. But that's what's changed. Where'd that come from? Because the devil slipped the same thing into us. We begin to question authority.
Yeah.
What's the first time? The first time the devil shows up in the Bible, what's he doing? "Yea, hath God said." Question authority. What brought destruction and murder into the first family?
Mm-hmm.
Question authority.
Right.
The Word of God. Say, "Preacher, why in the world, what's wrong with our mind? Why are there more people today taking medicine for their mind?" Because perfect peace have they whose mind
stayed
on thee.
That's right.
Stayed on what? Stayed on God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed on God. Right. Say, what's the devil done? Brother Mullins, I'm going to show you what he's done. He's pulled the rug out from under us.
Yep.
He's pulled the rug out from under you.
Yeah.
He's pulled the rug out from under our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd he do that? Because he slipped the Bible out of our churches.
Yep.
The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I'll
stand.
Won't we do it? Amen.
Yep.
Let's quit diminishing the Word of God. Let's stand on God's Word.
Yeah.
Number one, a simple Bible preaching. Number two, a church established on the foundation of the Holy Scripture. I'm going to tell you why God's blessed this church. Some of you have been here for a long time, and not tonight, I mean. Amen. How long have you been here tonight? It ain't been that long yet. But listen, some of you have been here a long time, and you know that we've always had great singing here, right? How many of you have ever in the storefront building heard me lead singing the first time? How many of you felt sorry for me? Brother Chuck, raise your hand. Listen, raise both hands. Amen. Hey, listen. Hey, when visitors would come to our church and I would be leading the singing, I wouldn't look at them because I was afraid they'd be laughing at me. I'd look the other way. I didn't want to see them. You know why I thought they would be? Because I would be if I was them. Amen. People would say, I want to come to a church that's got good singing. I'd say, oh man, don't come here. Listen, I'm going to tell you why God's blessed this church and why He's done it. Listen, and I know there's maybe a lot of reasons, but one reason is we've always preached the Word of God. Because God blesses Bible preaching. God blesses it. Get mad at me. I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But listen, I don't ever want to give up my Bible.
No.
I never will. By God's grace, I'm not going to give up my Bible. That's my mom right there. She birthed me into this world. All right, y'all can joke with her if you want to a little bit. But I ain't going to let nobody hurt her, amen?
That's right.
Listen, you ain't going to go back here and draw faces on her and hurt her and do anything to her. She's my mom. She gave birth to me. I'm going to tell you what. God birthed me through this book right here.
There you go.
I don't want you messing with my Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Don't do it. But listen, number three. A Christian walk with God and separation from worldliness.
Thank God.
Say, preacher, why in the world separate from worldliness? I'm done. I'm almost done. Preacher, why not? Why shouldn't I just watch every movie I want to watch? Preacher, what's wrong with just watching all them R-rated movies and PG-13? And what's wrong with watching all that stuff? And preacher, what's wrong with just looking on the internet at everything I want to look at?
Tell them, preacher.
Because your mind's already corrupt without all that stuff.
That's
why you need to be real careful about what you watch on television.
Right.
Because you don't need to add anything to it. Amen.
Right.
Say, preacher, well, does that make me better than anybody else? No, that ain't what I'm preaching about. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as Christians, you can sit over here and you can look at the world all you want to. As Christians. And you can take in as much of the world as you want to. And fill your mind with the filth of the world and you're still saved. Lot, for example,
yeah.
He vexed his soul with the filthy communication.
Yeah.
Or you can say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that. And you can walk over here and listen, and you can get closer to God and spend time with Him and fellowship with Him.
Yes.
And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm at His own. Listen, and that'll do you a far lot better than spending time over here.
That's right, preacher.
What are you doing? You're separating from the world. Is that going to make you high-minded or haughty? No. Sorry. Because the closer you get to God, the more you're going to see your own problems. It's going to humble you. Say, well, what's God want? He wants us to be humble. He doesn't want us to be high. He doesn't want us to be proud. He wants us to wake up every day realizing how much we need Him.
Yes.
How much we need His Word. How much we need to walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. God wants me separated from the world. Not so I can be high-minded or haughty, but so I can be humble. So He can use me. God wants to use you, boys. Listen to me, boys. God wants to use you. Girls, God wants to use your life. Hey, church, God wants to use you. People say, well, once I'm so old, God can't use me. Brother Anderson, you said that. It's not like that this morning, but you were saying it. You're not what you used to be. I know what you're saying. It hurts to get up. It hurts to move. It hurts to breathe. He'll tell you that. But I'm going to tell you what, God's still using him.
He's still using you. Amen.
God's still using him. And listen, hey, God's still using you. Mm-hmm. What am I saying? Boys and girls, hey, listen, God wants to use you. But you know, just as much as God wants to use you, the devil wants to abuse you.
That's right.
He wants to fill your mind with all kinds of wickedness. Fill your mind with all kinds of garbage. Why? Because he wants to ruin your life. But thank God there's someone greater than that. Amen. Amen. Some of you could testify to the fact of how the devil had his way for so long. But one day you got saved and God separated you from that. Why not live that way the rest of your life? Why do you want to go back to that field? Why not just keep getting closer to Jesus every single day so that God can use you? Shouldn't that be our goal? This old world tonight They're not all going to hear this message, but if just the people that hear it tonight that are here, if y'all hear it, we could make a difference out there in the world.
Right.